If you didn't receive a Lord's Supper cup when you came in, they're in the lobby. They are there. Hopefully everybody got one. And you can take your Bible, be going to Colossians chapter number 2 in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 2. And if you could be turning there, I'd really appreciate it. Colossians chapter 2. I tell you, it is 2 days after Christmas. 2 days after Christmas. And a lot of times after Christmas, it's, like I said earlier, you're tired, you know, a lot of times. How many of you would be honest and say, I'm just kind of tired, you know, just kind of. How many of you would be honest and say, I was tempted to just stay home today? Yeah, right. But here you are. Aren't you glad you're here? Amen. And it's awesome. Sometimes when Christmas is over, and last night my wife said, because for us, it's a 3-day event. You know, it's like it starts Christmas Eve with, you know, some family, and then Christmas Day, some family, and then Christmas, the day after Christmas, we did all of our extended family yesterday. So for us, it's like a 3-day event, and when it's over, it's like, wow, I can't believe Christmas is over for another year. I can't believe it's over. You know, can't believe it. And sometimes when Christmas is over, it's common. Maybe you don't, but it's common to feel a little let down. Maybe a little depressed, maybe a little bit tired. And that's why we have to remember that Christmas, it isn't about us, it's about Jesus Christ. And we're celebrating Him. We got to remember that. We got to remind ourselves of that. And you know, when you have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, you leave different. It's like we saw the wise men last week. You look through the Bible, the shepherds. You look at, Mary, who we studied. And then, you know, you look at people in Jesus' ministry, and they encountered Christ, and man, they were a mess before they knew Jesus. And then they met Jesus, and it was like made a huge change in their life. Many people, unfortunately, they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Instead, what happens is, people try to build their life on other things, like, you know, like money or possessions or a job, a career. Some have even tried building their life on a religious system. They build their whole life around religion. Usually the religious system involves laws and rules and moral values, and so we try to keep those. And a lot of times there's nothing wrong with those laws or moral values. A lot of times they're good in and of themselves. But I want to let you in on a very blessed truth. Some of you already know this. Jesus Christ is the only foundation that you need for your life. He's it. You can build your life on Christ. Listen, He's not the babe in Bethlehem anymore. He is the risen Savior who has ascended far above all principality and power. He's at the right hand of the Father, and Christ is enough. Listen, when you have Jesus, you lack nothing. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 3:11, and I've got it here on the screen for you to look at this morning. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For no one can lay another foundation," He says, "then that which was laid," He says, "in your life," and that's Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. You know, there's a song that we do, an old song called "The Solid Rock." How many of you ever heard of that? "The Solid Rock." "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You know, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." And I've got a bucket here, and inside this bucket, I've got something that we in Florida are very familiar with. Do y'all know what this is? Yeah, I'm kind of making a mess here, but yeah, it's sand. Listen, let me ask you something. How many of you think it'd be a smart thing to do to go out there on the beach and no cement, no foundation, just go out there with some wood and build you a house right out there next to the water on the sand? How long you think it'd be there? Till high tide, right? Till high tide. And a lot of people, to see what they're doing is they're building their life on this stuff right here. They're building their life on sand. Jesus, you know, gave that illustration. He said, two men built a house. One built it on sand. Another guy built it on rock. And he's like, the guy that built on sand, when the rains came, when the high tide came in, he said, boom, it went down. He said, but the guy who built his house on a rock, it lasted. Of course, he was given that illustration to show us that Christ is the foundation. Christ is the rock. Christ is the one. And anything else you build on is going to be sand. I don't care if it's a religious system. It's going to be sand. Satan does not want you to know that. Satan wants to get you entangled in religious systems so that you fail to see the sufficiency of Christ. For example, Satan had his ambassadors here at Colossae, the book of Colossians. And they were telling these people you need to build your life on this religious system. And they were coming in with this stuff, advertising this stuff. These systems, they were promoting them and advertising them. Advertising's been around for years, you know. You know, Satan was the first advertiser. Satan had a plan of evil, a plot of rebellion against God. And the Bible says that when Satan devised his plot of rebellion and iniquity was found in his heart, he went out and he literally marketed it. He literally went out and advertised his deception to the angelic host to get them on board. And so these religious teachers are coming in here and they're advertising, they're marketing. They're promoting their religious system, telling these Colossian people, this is what you need in your life. This is the answer for your life. And these systems were designed to lead these people away from a simple faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians 2. Go to chapter 2 and look at verse number 8. And notice the very first word. And the very first word there is beware. How many of you know what beware means? How many of you know what beware of the dog means? Let me tell you, when I see that, I take that seriously. I've been bit by a pit bull. I have. And so when I see beware of the dog, I know what that means. And notice he says, beware lest anyone captivate you through philosophy and vain deceit in the tradition of men and in the elementary principles of the world. Notice, and not after who? Christ. The whole deal was this stuff was designed to lead these people away from Christ. And this was not God's plan for their life, and it's not God's plan for your life. God does not desire for you to be entrapped in some confusing, intricate religious system. God's desire is for you to simply build your life on a relationship with Jesus Christ. And by the way, when we do this as part of the message today, that's what this is about. When you take the Lord's Supper, the bread there, that and by the way, the clear tab, there's two tabs, and you got to make sure you pull the clear one first because that reveals the bread, and then the purple silver one is the juice. But when you pull those back and you see that bread is symbolic of Christ's body that he gave for us on the cross, and the juice is symbolic of his blood that he shed for us and he gave for our forgiveness. And so when you partake of that, you are expressing in like an outward visible way, you're basically, you know, saying, okay, this is my heart. You know, this is my heart loves the Lord, loves Jesus, and I know I believe he's enough. And God wants you to build your life on a relationship with Christ, not some religious system, but on Jesus Christ. Go to Colossians 2, verse 6. Look at that with me. He says, this is so good. He says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Well, how many of you in here have received Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life? Say amen, huh? Okay, well then that's you. Look what it says. He's going to give you some advice. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. In other words, he needs to be the foundation of your daily life. Just like you received him when you first got saved, that's the same basis on which you walk in your daily life. Simple faith and trust in him. And then look at the next part, verse 7. He says, rooted and built up in him, in Christ. Notice he didn't say rooted and built up in the church. Church is great, but you can't root yourself and build yourself up in the church. He didn't say rooted and built up in Pastor Dan. Listen, I hope you love me, but don't root and build yourself up in me. It didn't say rooted and built up in your husband or your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend. He didn't say rooted and built up in your money or your job. He said rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. That's the basis of your life. And then he says, notice, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught and abounding with thanksgiving. God here gives us some very logical reasons why we need to build our life on Christ. The first one is this. Religious systems, and that's what this chapter is about. They were trying to build their life on these religious systems. Religious systems, he teaches here, are man-made, but Christ is divine. And that's why we need to build our life on him. He's the solid rock. Religious systems, they're man-made. They're like this right here in my hand. They're just like that sand right there. He says, you think about this. There are thousands of religious systems in the world today. And they all supposedly hold the key to finding favor with God. But they all have one thing in common, and that is they are devised by man, by people. And notice what people desire to do to you. Go to verse number 4, chapter 2, verse number 4. Notice he says, now this I say, lest anyone beguile you, trick you with enticing words. Verse 8, remember that? We read it. Beware lest anyone captivate you through philosophy, vain deceit, tradition of men. You go down to verse 22. Skip down to verse 22. He says, these all are to perish with use and are aligned with the commandments and doctrines of what? Of men. Now, again, I'm not saying that everything to do with these religious systems are wrong or evil. Many times, they'll quote Scripture. The problem is that they use Scripture and they take it out of context for their own purposes. For example, the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious elite, the religious leaders in Jesus' day. And they had an intricate religious system they'd worked out. And you know what it was? It was a mixture of morals. Some of them really good morals. But it was a mixture of morals, laws they found in the Bible, and then they would interject their own man-made tradition and rules. And Jesus, it's like, you guys are always changing, you know, based upon what's convenient for you. You change the religious system based upon your own whims and preferences. Don't you hate people, you know, that you play a board game with them and they change the rules as you're playing? Don't you hate that? Anybody ever played Monopoly? And it's like, you know, you're halfway into the game and they land right on go and they take $500. Well, when you pass go, how much are you supposed to get? $200. They take $500. What are you doing taking $500? Well, when you land right on go, you get $500. Wait a minute, that's not in the rules. They just made that up because it was convenient, right? And people do that with religion. They make up these rules and interject these rules. And what Jesus said is Jesus is like, You're hypocrites, he told them. He said, because what you do is you clean up the outside of the cup, but he said inside, he said, you guys are full of extortion and greed. And many times that's what religion does, is that religion can kind of make us look good outwardly and acceptable, and we're performing all these religious rules that we're supposed to do, but we aren't doing so well on the inside. Going to church can become a religious rule. You know, I love going to church. I want to go to church. You know, before I was ever a pastor, you said, well, you got to come. You're the pastor. And before I was ever a pastor, I always looked forward to going to church. I love to go to church, you know. But it can become a rule that you check off. And you think I'm better than other people or I'm acceptable because I go to church. And what happens is that religious systems are man-made. A man, a woman, or a group of people, they decide what the rules and what the laws are going to be. And the main problem with that is that religious systems have no power to be able to cleanse you inside, internally. They can clean up the outside, make you look okay on the outside, but they can't do much about the inside. Religious systems are all about externals, but they can't do much about the inside, and the inside is what counts. I mean, is it not true, church, that God looks on the heart? It's your heart, man. It's the inside that counts. I mean, think about that. That just makes sense. It's the inside that counts. How many of you, when you go to a restaurant, if the coffee cups are already on the table like they are sometimes, how many of you are like me and you inspect the inside of the cup before they pour anything in it? I want to look at it. You know, and I'm not really so much even concerned if there's a smudge on the outside or if there's something underneath the cup, you know. Really not so much worried about that. But let me tell you something. When I start seeing particles on the inside, that's where I get balk right there, amen. I'm like, I need a new cup, right? I don't want to see particles and smudges and junk on the inside of the cup because that's where my coffee's going. It's the inside that counts. And you see, Christ is divine. He's the Son of God. He's the risen Lord. And therefore, he's got the power to cleanse you internally. Clayton, you do a song called From the Inside Out. It's a great song. Because the concept of it is that that's how God works. God's not about just trying to clean up the outside and make you look good to everybody. God's about working on the inside. And then, of course, the inside will work its way out. But he focuses on the inside. And the inside, see, Christ is able to do that because he's divine. Religious systems are man-made. They can't cleanse you inside. And Christ can bring a lasting peace to your heart. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Go back one chapter to chapter 1, verse 14. Look at that. Your faith needs to be in the Word of God, so it's really important to look at it and see it and feed yourself with it because don't take my word for it. Look at verse 14. Colossians 1, 14. In whom? That whom is Christ. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood. And then what does it say at the end? The forgiveness of sins. How many of you are thankful that the blood, which is what the juice symbolizes, how many of you are thankful that because of Christ and what he did on the cross for us, aren't you thankful that all your sins, all the evil things you've ever done and thought are all forgiven through Jesus Christ? How many of you are thankful for that? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that incredible? Religious systems can't do that, but Christ can do that. And that's why it's all about your walk and your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about some religious system of rules and laws that you keep and the checklist, I did this, I did this. No, it's about your daily walk with Christ. As you received him, walk in him because he's the one that can cleanse you internally. He brings the forgiveness of your sins and a right relationship with God so that you don't have to worry about that condemnation, but you can walk in that relationship. Are you perfect? No. But you're growing. You're moving in the right direction as you let him work inside of you. Listen, you're never going to be perfect. But let me tell you something. There's a difference between me heading this way that doesn't work out too good, does it? How far am I going to go that way? That's about it. And then going this way. And you know what? You're not going to be perfect, but you know what? You're going to be heading in the right direction. Amen? Yeah. You're going to be messing up less, and you're going to be sinning less, and you're going to be moving in the right direction as you bask in that relationship and that daily walk with Jesus Christ. You say, man, I'm just so messed up. I feel like I'm hitting my head against a brick wall like that. What you were just doing, that's how I feel my life is. Turn around, turn to Jesus. Quit hitting your head against the wall and start walking with him. Don't let people captivate you and bring you captive, like it said there. Walk in the freedom that Christ gives you because he'll give you freedom to make right choices. And you know what? You know how you change your life? One choice at a time. If you find yourself frustrated with yourself at the end of 2020 and you think, man, my life is not going the direction I want it to go and I feel like I am up against a wall, it's one choice at a time, one decision at a time, one good choice at a time. And as you rely on Jesus and you walk with him and you just realize it's all about your walk and relationship with Jesus Christ, he'll give you that strength and power to be able to make those daily choices. The second thing is this, religious systems create pride, but Christ brings humility. You know, these religious teachers had come to these people at Colossae, and they were promoting and marketing their religious system of laws and rules and ordinances. And they're like, hey, you know, this is what you really need in your life, and this is the answer. Kind of like weight loss programs. Y'all know, you know what I'm saying? This is the answer. This is what you need. You know, this is the key. And they're coming there like a weight loss program. This is the religious system that you need. And this is going to be the answer to all your problems. And verse 18, though, look at that with me. Look at verse chapter 2. All right, chapter 2. Look at verse 18. He says, do not let anyone, and he's talking about these teachers, these religious teachers, don't let anyone cheat you of your reward by delighting in false humility and the worship of angels, dwelling on those things which he's not seen, vainly arrogant due to his unspiritual mind. Whew. Wow. Notice the phrases false humility and vainly arrogant. You know what I have found? Religious systems tend to create two reactions in people, one of two. When you're part of a religious system, it either creates pride or discouragement. And what I mean by that is that some people tend to keep the rules better than most others. So if they're in a religious system, they tend to keep the rules better because by their personality, by their makeup, they are a rule keeper. Some people are rule keepers. Some people, like I said, they got a board game. They want to read all the rules and go exactly by the rules. Some people, if they're at the swimming pool, they read the little sign that nobody else reads, and they read all the rules of the pool. They go to the beach. They go to the lifeguard. They want to know all the rules of the beach, you know. Some people are rule keepers, right? They're like, if you were, some people are the type of personality, if they were in a, like a shopping plaza at midnight and there was not another car in the entire shopping plaza, they would stop at every stop sign and look both ways in the shopping plaza. They'd stop at every, my wife would stop at every stop sign, I guarantee you. Drive me nuts, you know. She'd stop at every stop sign because there's a stop sign there and you're supposed to stop. There's not a car in the parking lot, but she'd stop at every stop sign. Some of you are rule keepers. Some of you, by using the same illustration, pretty much anywhere in town, to you, a stop sign is a suggestion. Right? It's just maybe a good suggestion, you know. But they don't really expect me to come to a full stop, you know. You just roll right through that baby, right? Or blow through it. So we're all built differently. And so rule keepers, they tend to really, you know, do, you know, they tend to be very successful when they get in a religious system of rules and do's and don'ts and lists of stuff to do and checklists. They do great. And so what happens? They feel a sense of pride and superiority, and they feel good about themselves. They're like, wow, why these other people can't get with it, man? This is awesome, man. And they get prideful. When you don't keep the rules and you're not a rule keeper and you don't keep the rules so great, what happens? You feel discouragement and condemnation. But in both cases, whether you're the rule keeper or you're the one always breaking them, both, and you're discouraged, both those, the focus is on you and your performance instead of the focus being on Jesus Christ. Both of them, your focus is on you, not on Christ. Those who have been entangled in a religious system, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I was raised in a religious system, in that kind of culture, in two different churches. One of those churches was before I got saved. And they had an intricate system of laws and rules, and you had to go through these classes, and then you had to do this ceremony, and then you had to do this and this and this. And I was part of that and tried to fit into that and didn't have any peace. But then I got saved. My brother led me to Christ, and I'd never heard the gospel, and I got saved. And man, I mean, I knew my life had changed. Well, I just started going to this church, and the gospel was there in that church. You know what I mean? They preached the gospel of Christ, but then it was all about who could keep the rules the best. And I know firsthand how this works, and it's exactly what the Bible's saying here. Religious systems create pride. If you're a good rule keeper, you feel like you're a cut above the rest. You're okay. If you're not a good rule keeper, then you either just live in a state of condemnation all the time, or you just walk away. You just walk away and give up. You say, done with that. And that may be you. You know, you may be here at the end of the year thinking, man, I got to get things together, man, in 2021. And so you're in church today, and you've kind of been a long time, you know, since you've sought God. And you've kind of reached a point where you gave up on religion. Can I submit to you, if you reached a point where you gave up on religion, that's a good thing. Because it isn't religion you need. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that you need. Amen. When you build your life on the risen Christ, you realize that Christ is your only hope. And by the way, that's what this is about, which we're going to do here in a little bit, is that by taking this, we are like visibly demonstrating in an outward way, my faith's in Jesus. It isn't that this is a rule. Some people make that a rule. You got to do this every week, you know? And this is an ordinance that I got to do every week, or I got to do it once a month, or I got to do it so many times a year. And if I don't do it, I'm going to be condemned. No, you're not. No, you're not. If you never did the Lord's Supper again, as long as you live on this earth, but if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, heaven is your home. So this is not an ordinance or a law or a rule to keep. This is something that's a blessing if you understand what it means. If you're a believer, if your faith and trust is in Christ, this is just an outward, visible way to remind you, you know what? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You know, it's just a reminder. This, my hope's in Him. My hope's not in this cup, it's not in that juice, not in that bread, but it is in what it represents, and that's Jesus Christ. He is your only source of spiritual power. And so you build your life on Him. You build your life not on this, not on sand. You can try to build your life on your career. You can try to build your life on your money. You can try to build your life on all your stuff. It's sinking sand. Build your life on Christ. The last thing is this, and I want to share this with you, and then I'm done. Religious systems, number three, cannot bring victory over sin, but Christ is able. You know, if there's one thing we learn from God's giving of the Old Testament law, is that you can't, listen to me, and boy, we see this every day, don't we? You cannot legislate righteousness. We have a lot of rules and laws in this country. Do you think that keeps everyone in line in this country? Do you think even the people making the laws, the politicians, do you think they keep all the laws? Why are y'all laughing right now? I don't. And you know what? It's not a knock on them. None of us do. Listen, when God gave Moses the law up on the mountain, He's given him the law. He's got it in hand. He's coming down the mountain with it. He didn't even get off the mountain before Israel's breaking the law. They're down here while he's up there getting the law. They're down there made this golden calf, this idol. They're down there committing idolatry, dancing naked around this stupid calf. Moses comes down off the mountain. He's like, "What are you doing?" He tells his brother Aaron, who was in charge, "Aaron, what are you doing?"
"The people made me do it. They made me make this calf."
He no longer got the law off the mountain, and they'd already broke it. And here's the deal. You can't legislate righteousness. A list of do's and don'ts isn't going to make you righteous. Look with me at verse 20. Colossians 2:20, we'll end with this. He says, "Therefore," verse 20, "if you died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you're living in the world, do you subject yourself to legalistic rules?" And then he gives examples. "Do not touch." "Oh, don't touch that. That's a holy object." "Do not taste." "Oh, don't eat that. That's unholy." "Do not handle." "Oh, don't that." He says, wait a minute, these are all to perish with use and are aligned with the commandments and doctrines of men. He says, these things have indeed a show of wisdom in self-imposed worship and humility and neglecting of the body, but they are worthless against the indulgence of the flesh. They were being told that you had to keep these rules and ordinances to be acceptable. Paul's like, no, these religious rules are worthless when it comes to real change in your life. These rules don't cut it. You can't overcome fleshly sins by fleshly willpower. When you try hard to live up to a set of rules and laws, you're trying to overcome the flesh through the flesh, and that's never going to work. You think you've overcome one sin, and five more pop up. You know how it is in Florida in the summer. You go out and weed. You pull one weed, and there's five more the next morning, I swear, amen. And it's the same way. I've overcome that sin. Boy, I overcame that. Boy, I'm so proud of myself. Well, you just traded that sin for pride. You just traded one sin for another. Now you're proud about what you did. See, that's what I'm saying. You can't overcome flesh with flesh. Christ was born in Bethlehem. He lived a sinless life. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead with mighty power. And when we trust him, his life's imparted to our inner man. Now we got some power to overcome sin. Are you going to be perfect? No. But it's what I said. When you walk with Jesus, when you rely on him, when you cannot walk out of this building, forget about Jesus, and think, well, I did my duty for the week. I kept that rule. I went to church. And then never think about Christ, never talk to Jesus, never walk with him. Really don't. Christ doesn't even factor into your life Monday through Saturday. You can't do that and then think, because you kept a rule, that you're okay. You're not going to be okay. You're going to end up, it's just going to mess your life up. But when you're walking with him daily, are you perfect? No. No. But you're not like walking into that wall. At least you're heading in the right direction. At least you're, you know what that's called? That's called growth. At least you're growing. You know? At least you're starting to make some better decisions. And that's what it's all about. We just want to grow each day. You know, get going in the right direction. You know? And that's what Christ enables you to do. If you tear back that clear tab at the top, it reveals the bread. And you know, when Jesus met with his disciples, he wanted to reinforce to them what I'm preaching today, and that is that it's all about him. It's all about Jesus. And as you get that bread in hand, he met with his disciples, and he wanted to reinforce to them, you know, the Bible says that this is a picture of his body that hung on the cross for us. Did you know the Bible says that he bore in his body our sins? You think about how many sins you've committed. He took every one of those and bore them in his body on the tree. And so that had real meaning, you know, when he said to them, he broke the bread. He said, guys, take this. I want you to eat this, because he said, this is my body, which is broken for you, for you. And he said, you do this in remembrance of me. And as you pull back that second tab, you'll see the juice there. Jesus went on then to again symbolize what he would do for them. And so he holds up this cup, right, like this. He holds up this cup of the Bible calls it the fruit of the vine. Fruit of the vine is grape juice. That's what that is. The fruit of the vine. And he holds that up. And he holds that cup up. And he says, this is the new covenant in my blood. And he says, often as you drink this, he says, you're going to do that in remembrance of the blood I shed. Because remember, it's through his blood that we have the forgiveness of sins. So we do this in remembrance of him. You know, religious systems tend to lead us away from a simple faith and trust in Christ. Will you look at verse 8 one more time? Look at verse 8. Colossians 2:8. Clayton, you guys can come on up again. That's fine, while I'm finishing up. Band can come on up. But look at Colossians 2:8. And it says, beware lest anyone captivate you through philosophy and vain deceit. What is the word within the word captive? When he says, don't let anyone captivate you, what's the word within that word? Captive. Come on, talk to me. Captivate. What's the word within the word? Captive. It's the idea of... He just thought he was going to go over and sing. I got him captive. We're not socially distancing, are we? But that's the idea, is they grab you and they take you captive. It carries the idea of leading somebody away. Religious systems tend to typically not draw you closer to Christ over the long haul. No, they're substitutes for a personal, intimate walk by faith with Jesus Christ. But I want you guys to know something this morning, and I just want to just lift up Jesus on this last Sunday of 2020, and I just want you to know, Jesus is the real thing. He's not a substitute. He's not just a list of rules and laws. He is the real deal, and you can put your faith and your trust in Christ. You can walk with him daily. He loves you. He is there for you. Listen, religious systems are shadows. They're smoke and mirrors. Don't allow Satan to lead you away from the only source of true life and power. And that life and power is found in Jesus Christ. Amen, church. So walk with him. 2021's coming. Whether we like it or not, here it comes, right? Walk by faith in Jesus Christ. As we bow our heads right now and close our eyes, if you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus, open up your heart and do that right now. Just let God know. Let him know, Lord, I'm trusting in you. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Save me. I want a relationship with you. I don't want to play religion, God. It's not religion I need. It's you, Jesus, that I need. Tell him that right now. It's you, Jesus, that I need. It's you. And put your faith and put your trust in him. Father, we thank you, God, for your word today. Now, bless it as it's gone forth. And I just pray we'll take this great passage and learn from it today that Jesus is enough. The Jesus we celebrate from Bethlehem is enough. The Jesus we celebrate is no longer a baby. He is the risen Lord of all, and he is enough. So help us, Lord, to keep our faith and trust in you, to walk with you. There may be people today who are very discouraged that are in this building. They're discouraged because they feel like religion has just pounded them down. Help them to realize, Lord, it's just about a simple walk day by day with you. And when we fall down, we look to you to pick us back up. You're not going to beat us down further. We look to you to lift us back up and put us back on track. It's that daily walk with you. We love you so much, and we thank you and praise you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.